All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Pastor's Pregame Podcast.
And we're starting a new series.
I was going to say that.
I stole your thunder.
No, I was just about to say, I'm always excited for the podcast where we get to kick off a new series.
Me too.
Because to me, it's like a kid at Christmas. Like there's all this anticipation of like, we're going to get to dig in to the this particular book. And I love it when we study a book.
I do too. And I buy all the best, all the latest commentaries and read. I've read, of course, read this book many times. And I'm excited about this one because it's Paul's final letter in the New Testament. So it's like it's his last recorded words that we have.
It's his mic drop.
There it is.
Yes. So the book is 2 Timothy. And it is Paul's final letter to Timothy, one of his most beloved, if not very best friend and coworker.
Yeah, as we've researched this, you and I were talking just before this podcast started, that we didn't realize how important Timothy was.
Yeah.
And how close he was to Paul. You can kind of almost think, I've kind of thought, oh, he's kind of this junior guy.
Yeah, he's just like little kid teenager.
Little intern.
That's not.
And it's like, no, he was so much more than that. And this letter is really heartfelt. And in fact, most scholars believe this was the most personal letter that Paul wrote.
Yeah.
And it's in a group of letters called the pastoral epistles.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it? Why are those called? Why is that it?
Well, they're grouped together as Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, because they're sort of Paul helping these fellow ministers be leaders in their churches.
Yeah, it's not written to
a whole church
like the church at Ephesus or at Philippi or Colossians. It's written to a person.
Yeah.
An individual.
But there is an expectation that they would have shared this. So it's not like we're reading someone's private correspondence.
Right.
This is something that Timothy probably would have shared with his elders, probably would have shared maybe with neighboring churches and other towns. So because Paul really, especially in 1 Timothy and Titus, really sort of helps people with how do we do this thing called the family of the church family, assemblies. This groupings of people, how do we make this work?
Because Timothy is helping start churches and lead churches and helping other people with their churches. And so Paul's helping him. It's like some mentoring he's doing.
It is some mentoring. And I love this because, like you said, we didn't realize until we really dug into this how much Timothy did. But it says, so we think, according to Acts, we think Timothy came to faith by Paul. When Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, and Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father, and Paul returned,
So is it like do you think it was a mixed racial or mixed ethnic marriage?
A lot of the scholars do seem to think that. They seem to think that Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was Greek.
Sometimes we think that's a modern thing.
Yeah.
But it seems like it was also ancient that,
Yeah, and maybe not. It might have been that, I don't know. I think, I did read one commentary that thought that maybe Lois and Eunice, because they're mentioned in 2 Timothy, that's his grandmother and his mother, were early believers. And that when Timothy talks about learning the faith from, or Paul talks about Timothy learning the faith from them.
But it doesn't mention his dad.
Doesn't mention his dad or his grandfather, but it could have been the Jewish faith that he learned, and then he converted to Christianity and accepted Jesus as Messiah, because they were very close early days.
It makes me think about the power of moms and grandmothers.
Yeah.
That God used them to impact Timothy, who made this huge impact for the gospel, and the scripture names them specifically. I mean, we don't know much about them.
No, except their names. But they do get their names mentioned.
Right.
And that's always significant because lots and lots of people interacted with Paul and all his disciples and all his followers. But we don't always get their names.
And I think sometimes moms and grandmothers can underestimate the power of what they're doing and the significance of being a mom and being a grandmother and the influence on your, in this case, son and grandson.
Right.
For them.
Or any family member.
Right.
Anyone anyone you're close to. I think sometimes we underestimate our influence on other people that we're close to. And, you know, that can be in capacity as an aunt or an uncle. It can be the capacity just as a close family friend. But I tell you one way you can influence people, praying for them.
That's right.
I mean, I know my mother in particular is just a prayer warrior. And I have no doubt that my life has been dramatically affected by her prayer life.
I feel the same about my mom.
Yeah.
She's a prayer warrior, and the impact on me and on our church, on Christ Fellowship, because she prays
yes.
not only for me, but for our church. And my mom will send me a text almost every Sunday morning, praying for you in the sermon. And yeah, I think the power of prayer is, and certainly Lois and Eunice prayed for Timothy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they built a foundation for him. So whether they were already believers in Jesus as Messiah, or whether that predates that and they were just Jewish women who taught the scriptures, they gave him this foundation that he was able to build on that probably made him, helped him in his faith, helped grow him in his faith, because he already had this foundation.
That's right. And then God brought Paul along to mentor him.
Yes.
And here's not a family relationship, but the power of passing on the baton, of raising up a protege or someone that you're investing in to serve the Lord after you. And Paul is such a great model of that.
Yes.
That not only did he bring the gospel, but he was raising up someone to follow him, to pass the baton.
Yeah.
And he actually writes two letters to Timothy.
Yeah.
I think he's the only one Paul wrote two letters to.
Yes, for sure. And he also entrusted Timothy. So Timothy is the one that took letters to Thessalonica, Corinth, and Philippi.
Wow.
And that doesn't just mean that he just showed up and handed a letter and walked off.
He wasn't just the mailman?
He wasn't just the mailman. No, he actually would come in, read the letter, and then probably stay and help these churches understand what Paul meant and then help them implement.
Yeah, I'm envisioning he would read it out loud.
Yes.
And then I'm envisioning probably long conversations about what it meant. And
he also co-authored several of Paul's letters.
Okay.
So, you know, I know a lot of times we focus on the letter being from Paul. And look, frankly, like a lot of us do, we skim over those first couple of verses of a letter because we're like, yeah, introductory stuff. But it's really fascinating. Like I actually, when I was working on the Engage on Daily, I listed out all the introductions to Paul's letters.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that I could compare them, because sometimes his language is very similar, but often he'll add a different phrase or something different. And you always go, wonder why.
Like, what's maybe unique in the opening verse or two of 2 Timothy?
So in 2 Timothy, what he says, which I think is fascinating, and this would, of course, be conjecture on our part, but, you know, why not? It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's pretty common. He says that in about five other letters. But then he says, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
And he doesn't say that anywhere else. And I'm thinking, of course, here he is at the end of his life.
He's an old man.
He thinks he's probably going to be executed by Rome.
He's been through a lot of hell, so his body's pretty beat up.
He's pretty beat up, and he's thinking he's probably facing death.
Right.
And so, of course, he'd be really focused on the promise
of life
in Christ Jesus. And I think that's really beautiful.
And then he addresses Timothy as my dear son.
My dear son. And so there's this really deep family relationship. And I think, again, I think we get so used to saying, oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, family of God, those just almost become little catchphrases, that we forget sort of the deep relationship God has created in the body between believers.
When I think about, you were talking about influencing people with prayer, I think another way is writing a letter.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul did for Timothy, wrote him this letter, probably was very thoughtful about what he wrote in this letter. And it's very personal to Timothy. And what a powerful thing. These days, we don't write letters too often.
But, maybe long emails.
But to write a long email or write an actual letter to someone that you care about, someone you're investing in.
Yeah. And I know
really
in the world
it.
Of FaceTime and, you know, we feel like we can just talk, but there's something about crafting your words very carefully in written form and being very intentional about it. That's really powerful.
It is. I've seen people who will keep a letter like that for years and decades and bring it back out and reread it.
I have a letter. I'm going to I'm going to preach this.
Okay.
This opening, Timothy.
Are you telling a secret now?
No, it's they'll know when they get there.
Okay.
But I'm going to preach this opening, and I'm going to bring a letter that Steve, my husband, wrote to me in 1989.
Wow.
And it is discolored, and I've had it in a drawer for all these years. And he was at UT Austin, and I was in high school still. And so I think I must have been feeling insecure. I don't know. I don't know the cause, but it's this very heartfelt letter where he's just like reassuring me.
Wow.
That even though he's away at school, and even though, you know, that we have distance between us, how much he still loves me. And it's just this really sweet, beautiful letter. He refused to read it though. When I dug it out, he was like, that's going to give me the cringe so bad. He's like, I'm sure I was a big goober. And I was like,
so he married his high school sweetheart?
He did.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, he did. So we've been together ever since 1988. So, oh my gosh, I just dated myself.
I know, you weren't supposed to do that.
I wasn't supposed to do that. Y'all can't do math. It's okay. Y'all don't do the math in your head. Anyway, but I think that letter, just to go to show you something that I've held on to these years.
Yeah, it's the power of something like that.
Yeah.
And Paul really is encouraging Timothy in this letter. And there were some hard things going on in the ministry.
Yeah.
It was not easy. There was conflicts and false teaching. And he is in giving Timothy courage and strength.
Yes, he's really encouraging him to stand firm and to keep going. And you think about being someone who's at the end of their life. And, you know, you hear this phrase all the time. We're only one generation away from losing the gospel.
Right.
And look, we know God is all powerful. He will keep his word going. But that just reminds us of the responsibility we have to keep passing that baton.
And when we talk about influencing someone else and what people need, and we've talked about prayer and writing a letter, encouragement.
Yes.
And I had a mentor tell me, you can't give too much encouragement.
No.
And I thought, you know, it's really true. And it inspired me to do more encouraging.
Yeah.
Of the people around me, the people on our staff, on my team here at Christ Fellowship, and in my family, and just to pour on the encouragement.
Yeah.
And realize I can't overdo that.
And Paul says specifically, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. So, like, Paul obviously recognized something in Timothy and noticed that God had gifted him a certain way.
That's
that
right.
The Holy Spirit was going to use him in a certain way. And so Paul helped develop that in Timothy. He probably helped foster that. He gave him some responsibility. He, you know, he walked alongside him. He helped him. And now that they're separated by distance and Timothy is basically leading the church in Ephesus, Paul's just continuing to encourage him. Hey, keep fanning that into flame.
It's so easy to get discouraged.
It is. It is.
It doesn't matter who you are. It's easy to get discouraged. Even if you're doing great one day, just stuff hits the fan. Stuff comes into your life. People leave you, betray you, conflicts arise.
Yeah.
And to have someone encouraging you makes such a difference. And so I'd encourage you to be the encourager.
Yes.
And
yes.
Encourage someone else.
Yes. And because you can never have too much of it, because the enemy has a way of discouraging us at every turn. And so you need someone who's kind of in your corner.
Now, Paul does think he's going to see Timothy again, though, right?
He asked Timothy to come to him.
Okay.
But we don't know
if that ever happened.
If that ever happened.
But Paul expected to see him.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Acts just sort of ends.
Right.
Without really, like, you know, if this had been a Hollywood drama, they would have had the big climactic scene where Paul, you know, is martyred. And that would have been seen. But Luke didn't do that. He just sort of leaves Paul in prison at the end of Acts. And so there is a lot of speculation because, you know, scholars try to look at the letters and, you know, the names that Paul mentions and the places he mentions.
Put it on a timeline.
And they try to put it on a timeline alongside Acts. And so there is some like question, like,
and this is so late. It could be like after Acts.
Yes. And that's one hypothesis is
and
that.
And what does he ask Timothy to bring him?
His coat.
His coat? And?
We're not there yet.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead.
We're jumping ahead like two months.
I was thinking about this Hollywood drama and I'm picturing what would the scene be?
Yes, yes.
And he's probably walking in with Paul's cloak and these parchments. He said, you know, bring me these
things. My parchments,
and
yes.
I can picture that's the final scene and Timothy comes in.
Well, you have a more optimistic view because, in the tragedy, he would walk in, but it would be right after Paul had been executed.
Do you have to always go this tragic direction?
I'm sorry. But there is some question. Like some people will say, some scholars will say, okay, so Paul might have been released at the end of Acts. And that's why Luke doesn't think it's a big deal. And so maybe Paul is released and maybe he goes on and does more ministry. And then all the events of these letters is after Acts is concluded. Right. We just don't know. There's a lot of theories out there.
But their relationship was so tender. It's almost like a father-son relationship in a family way. Paul was older, Timothy was younger, but also they're brothers and co-workers. I mean, they're partners together.
Yeah. And you can tell that Paul draws a lot of encouragement from Timothy.
That's right.
And that's why he wants to see him. He's like, I want you to come to me because that will bring me so much joy. There's a genuine sort of back and forth in their relationship.
Like you said, from all the evidence, which is kind of remarkable, if you look up every reference to Timothy in the New Testament, that they were friends.
Yeah.
And co-partners, co-workers together for Christ. And when you're in a battle together, or you're serving together, and you're praying together, and crying together, and laughing together, and you go through our things, you get united together.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Paul does use that exact imagery. He uses the imagery of soldiers in this letter. He uses, he encourages Timothy to suffer like a soldier. He uses the image of being a farmer. So there's this sort of like hard work.
We're working and together.
Work together. And then he uses the image of athlete of, you know, we're
on a team together.
We're on a team together. We're running a race together. We've got to strive, continue to strive. So yeah, he uses all this imagery that indicates they have this co-working relationship, but they also have this sort of father-son relationship. And like you said, when you walk through life with someone like this and you sort of walk alongside them through their battles and you face battles with them, it's a powerful connection. And something I think in the modern world, you know, I read a statistic and I won't quote it exactly, but it was striking to me how the majority of men say they don't really have a close relationship outside their immediate family. So they might
be a lot of people don't have one in their immediate family either.
A lot of people don't have their immediate. So that speaks to that idea of loneliness that we really want to combat.
Isolation's huge, and so I would say you might, as we go through this study, it, in some ways you could put yourself in Paul's position and think, I need to encourage someone and write a letter. But I'd encourage you also to put yourself in Timothy's position,
right?
And listen to what God is saying to you through Paul as he's encouraging Timothy. Because like you said, this letter is for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was written to Timothy, but it was written to be shared back then. And certainly today it's in God's word. And so throughout this series, as we walk paragraph by paragraph through 2 Timothy, which I love that we do. I love, like you said, going right through a letter in the New Testament, verse by verse, which is what we'll do for the next 8 weeks.
2 months, yeah.
2 months. We'll be working through 2 Timothy. I wonder what God has for you.
Yeah.
And which piece of it or what verses are going to speak the loudest as you do the Engage God Daily, you come on Sundays and hear the sermon, and you read the letter for yourself. I'd encourage you to read it a number of times the next 2 months.
Yeah. In fact, I'm encouraging you to read the whole thing the first day.
That's great.
This week.
It's not really that long of a letter.
It's about, we take the average person about 8 minutes to read.
Okay, about 8 minutes.
According to Google.
Okay, all right. It's 4 chapters long.
Yeah.
It's like
it's
3 pages.
It's definitely worth the investing the time to read the whole thing at once. Because as much as we love to break it down, you would have read it as a letter, right?
You want to get a sense of the whole.
Yeah, and get a sense of the whole. The other thing that comes up a lot in this letter that we'll probably dive into as we get further into it is this idea of heresy and this idea of false teaching that Paul is countering. Do you have any thoughts on what that might have been?
I don't think it was one particular school of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was some mixed up ideas that were distorting true sound doctrine. Yeah. And it reminds me so much of today that there's just a lot of crazy teaching out there. Today we access it through the internet.
Yeah.
People going on YouTube and hearing all sorts of nutty things. Back then, there wasn't the internet, but there were traveling teachers.
Yes.
And there were people who would just go around and give talks and speeches and write some things. And it was confusing people.
Yeah.
And so Paul was encouraging Timothy to teach sound doctrine and to counter some false ideas out there. And boy, do we need that today.
We do. You know, the city of Ephesus, you know, the more I've studied it, it's so familiar. Yeah. To our modern world. I mean, here was a city, a very influential city. It was a port city. So you had people coming and going. It was a wealthy city because it was a port city. It had a huge temple in it dedicated to Artemis. The biggest, it was one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. So you had Artemis, the Artemis cult was incredibly influential in the city. So you had a lot of people tied up in supporting that. The silversmiths making idols. So that's who in Acts, if you read Acts, they get incensed that Paul comes because, of course, he's preaching Christ as, you know, God, as Savior. And that's how Artemis was known. Artemis was known as Savior. And so here's Paul saying, no, let me teach you about Jesus, the real Savior. And he was putting the silversmiths jeopardizing their livelihood.
That's right.
And we see that all the time today. How that, you know, all these things that are tied up in the economy and tied up into the way people make money, and they don't want anyone treading there and to trying to teach something different because it's tied up in the way that they are making money.
Yeah. So Timothy was when he was in Ephesus, he's in a major city that today you think of the major cities of the world, New York City and all.
And all, like you said, all kinds of different ideas and philosophies and people just sort of mixing them up and melding them together in whatever way they wanted. And here comes Paul and Timothy preaching Jesus, preaching that Jesus is better.
So I think today in a world with lots of ideas swirling around and where it's hard to tell what's true and what's false.
Sure is. I mean, not only fake written word, but now we're getting fake videos and AI, you know.
It can be confusing.
Yeah.
And different voices that claim to be speaking for Christ and Christianity saying different things. And so I think this studying this letter will be very grounding.
I agree.
For people in what's true.
Yeah. And look, I think bottom line, what Paul is encouraging Timothy in is be faithful to Jesus, stand firm on what you know, and live that faith out.
And like you said, there's competing loyalties in Ephesus with the Artemis cult. Also, it's a Roman city. There's Caesar's involved. And one of the interesting things about 2 Timothy compared even to 1 Timothy or Titus is the amount of times the word kurios or Lord is used.
Yeah.
16 times in 2 Timothy. And there seems to be, in a sort of a subtle way, it's your devotion needs to be to the Lord.
Yeah.
Not to the economy, Caesar, Artemis, anybody else, but to Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Yeah. And it's interesting because he calls God Father. So you get that family sense of God being Father and Jesus as Lord. So Jesus is sort of commander in chief.
That's right.
And not that they're separate, but you know what I mean? There's this sense of how we can look at them in both ways. Like God is our Father, but he's also the one who directs us. So I'm excited for this book. I think it's going to be interesting to dig into. And ultimately, I think we want to walk away with the same message that Timothy got, which was we got to be faithful to Christ. We've got to stand. We've got to believe sound doctrine. We've got to believe what's true. And we also have to live it out. We have to let what we believe affect the way we live and the way we relate to one another.
As you know, the word sound actually means healthy.
Yeah.
And so it means more than just correct.
Right.
But
yes,
sound,
that's
healthy,
very important.
Which is part of it is that we are living out that truth.
Yeah, and that we're not being belligerent or nasty. And even we'll tell people later, do not get involved in these useless controversies and arguing. And I think that's a word we all need in the social media age.
Oh, absolutely. And in an election year, when all that gets heated up because of the nature of an election,
yeah,
that this book, I think, will give us some good guidance, because he's telling Timothy what really matters and what doesn't, and what conversations are worth engaging in and what ones really are to avoid.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to dig into it verse by verse.
Yeah. And we've titled it an interesting title.
We have.
Do you remember what it is? It is You've Got This,
Paul.
So it's sort of like the way we tried to think as a team, if you wanted to encourage someone in the day we live in,
right,
where you want to send them a quick text or a quick DM just to encourage them, what you've might
got,
you say?
You've got this.
You've got this. So, and in Christ we do.
And we all need to hear that.
In Christ we've got this.
That's right.
All right. Well, Bruce, let's pray.
Okay. God, thank you for this book, 2 Timothy. Thank you for Paul and Timothy. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you want to say to us through this book, week by week, verse by verse. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.